Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. If you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, my special guest is Pastor Bill Jenkins. He's the founder and senior pastor of the Church of Acts in Indianapolis, Indiana, and Destiny Land Christian Center in Ontario, California. Pastor Bill also hosts his own television program on TBN and is honored to host the Praise the Lord program in Indiana. Rapidly becoming known as an apostle of God with a prophetic voice, he works to release a message of hope in our world. With deep spiritual revelation and insight from God's Word, Pastor Bill takes the toughest passages of Scripture and explains them in a practical and interesting way. He is the go-to guy when it comes to understanding the biblical numbers and their spiritual significance. A devoted husband and father, his passion is for others to become successful as they apply the principles of Christ. And now, I am going to have to call him because he's not appeared in the studio yet. So bear with me while we have some dead air. Let me just play a song for you by a New Thought singer by the name of Jennifer McFerrin called Throw It All Away.
Traumas that
It All Away by Jennifer Farron. And Pastor Bill is with us now. I'm trying to bring him live. Pastor Bill, hang on. You're going to be in limbo for a minute, but I will get to you. I'm having some technical difficulties. There we go. You're live on the air. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. How about you, brother?
I'm doing great, too. I was thinking that maybe something had come up for you, and I had faith that somehow or other we would connect, and so here we are.
Well, I'm glad to be with you tonight, and hopefully got a good word to release to encourage some folks in your listening audience today.
Well, you've been referred to as an apostle of God with a prophetic voice. Can you tell us a little bit about what that means to you? Are you able to hear me?
Are you there?
Yes, something happened.
I heard you. You must not have heard me. But when you talk about, you know, a prophetic voice, it's mostly about two kinds of things. Number one, like a forth-telling, where you would tell forth the word in a way that people could understand it. You can explain it in a clear and concise manner for people to really grasp a hold of it. You know, not where it's too far over their head, but also when you talk about a prophetic voice, it's also in reference to things that may come to pass. So it's a forth-telling and then also a foretelling, but don't get that confused with a fortune-telling.
Gotcha. Well, what are some of the words that you would have to share for us that would be prophecies for us to keep in mind?
Well, what I do in the New Prophetic Almanac, it's really 180 pages filled with inspiration, information, divine revelation. I'm going to give you everything you can dream or imagine, really based upon the number 16. What I like to do is look at numbers in the Bible. I study numbers, I study colors, study names, look at places. They all have some meaning to us, but if we understand it, it can really help us to understand the true intent of God. And so what I've been doing for the past few years is writing some books, releasing some messages based upon the numbers in the Bible that relate to the number that we're living in that year. So obviously we're in 2016, so 16 is the number I've been looking at. And out of the 31,102 verses that are in the King James, there's only 26 mentions of the number 16 in the Bible. And so when I laid them out, I found out that it revolved around four main things. In other words, these are the four things that we really ought to be putting our emphasis on, we ought to be focusing in on in order to be successful in our lives. And those four things, when 16 is mentioned, is love, marriage and family, personal dominion, and then a coming of age or a maturity. And what I do is I take those four things and I look at each of those individually, tell you why 16 is connected to those things, and then give you ways to develop those four things in your life for 2016. You know, you have 16 characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians 13. When we talk about marriage and family, I'm going to give you a plan to develop a family mission statement. So no matter what kind of family you have, I'm going to give you the ability to sit down with those people in your family, kids, adults alike. Sit down, you're going to ask and answer some questions. You're going to be talking about things as like, what are your expectations? What are your boundaries? What are some traditions? How are we going to handle the different things around the house and in life, even when it comes to money, finances, chores? I'm going to help you to develop that family mission statement. We're going to talk about personal dominion. I'll give you 16 keys to personal dominion on a daily basis. So instead of your flesh ruling you, you can start to rule your flesh and dominate, have great success in your life. And then we'll talk about maturity or coming of age, because 16 is when you get to get your license. You get really some rights afforded to you at 16 that were not given to you at any other time. So it's that midway point. You know, you're really not a child, but you're really not an adult. 16 is that crucial year where you have to learn that with responsibility comes great accountability. And if you don't learn that, then you can mess up some of those years as you enter your adult life. And so we'll look at a lot of things in the book. Those are the four main things, but we'll also be looking at chapter 16s in the Bible. There's 66 books, only 27 of them have a chapter 16, and I'll be releasing a specific prophetic word that will give you insight as to what you can expect to happen in 2016. So it's a well-rounded book, 180 pages. It's an exciting book. It really is a fun book to read. That's what people are telling me. And it's a manual that you kind of keep with you every day to look at, because I'm giving you 16 dates to watch for. I'm giving you people to watch for, colors to watch for, numbers to watch for, movies to watch for, animals of the earth, everything you could think. It's really an awesome book. They gave you great insight and really, I believe, helped set you up for some great things in this year.
Well, how do people get a hold of the book?
Well, there's a lot of ways they can get it. They can get it through Amazon. They can get it through eBook Kindle. They can go to eBay, for crying out loud, and get it. The best place to get it is through our church website. That's churchofacts.org or DestinylandCC. We have a church in Indiana. We also have a church in California. So if they go to one of our websites, churchofacts.org or DestinylandCC.org, we'll sign an autographed copy for them. So go to our websites, because that's going to be the best way to find out about what we're doing, find out about our churches, find out about our ministry, find out about the book. And there's several books out there, but the latest book is what you really want to make sure that you get. If you get anything else, get this book, because I really believe it's just one of those books that is a fun read, and it's going to keep things generated in your life. It's going to keep you attached. It's going to keep you connected the 366 days of this year.
Well, when you were talking about adults transitioning from teenagers to adults, it made me think of how many adults still are behaving like children. And I wondered what words of wisdom you would have to share with people that haven't come to get in touch with the true essence of who they are, or within the Christ spirit within themselves, how they can come to know themselves better.
Well, here's the thing. I love what you said, and I couldn't agree with you more. And here's the difference between babies and adults. Everybody really needs to write this down, because I'm going to give you some great revelation to help you discern the two. Adults work, babies create work. Don't ever forget that. Adults work, babies create work. So it doesn't matter how old you are. You said it perfectly a moment ago. You know, people, they should be acting older. They should be more mature, but they're not. They're still acting like babies. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with being a baby if you're a baby, right? It's a beautiful, awesome thing. I've got three boys. They're getting to be 11, 13, and 15, but I still remember the days when they were baby. I had to do everything for them. Nothing wrong with being a baby if you're a baby, but if you're older and still acting like a baby, need to be spoon-fed and, you know, need your diaper changed and need to be petted and wiped, up, cleaned up after yourself all the time, something's wrong with that. There comes a point when you have to grow up. So I couldn't agree with you more. And one of the things we got to do is, we've got to come to that sort of self-realization that, you know what, we need help. It's not everybody else around us. This is a year. 2016 is a year. It's a leap year in that we get one more day, and that's unusual in and of itself. It's also a political year in that we'll be elected a new president, and then it's also an Olympic year. So you have three things that make this year sort of stand out among all the other years, and whatever happens, whatever we allow, whatever we tolerate, whatever we establish, whatever foundation we lay in 2016 isn't just going to come and go at the end of the year. It's going to stick around for a while. Just like when we elect a president, they're going to stick around for a while. You know, so we have to make sure that we are not pointing the finger at everybody else. And because we're good at that. You know, some people are professional complainers. You know, we're great at picking out the flaws of other people, but we really can't draw a circle around ourselves and really identify some things that need to change. So if we really want to come to a greater awareness and really want to grow, there's some things we've got to do. And one of the main things is draw a circle around yourself and let change begin inside of you. Instead of, you know, worrying about what this one's doing or that one's doing, mind your own and get busy about doing some things that you can do to improve yourself. You know, we make New Year's resolutions. They don't last more than a week, if that. And then we're back to the same old person. Well, if we really hate something, we can't tolerate it. If we really want to change something, we can't tolerate it. We have got to begin to change. And so adults work, babies create work. Doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, ask yourself, are you working to build the kingdom? Are you working and helping to change people's lives? Are you creating work for others, taking them away from doing things? And in answering that question honestly, boy, I tell you what, that's a good beginning point. in order to launch yourself into some new things in this year and really have the opportunity to grow in Christ, grow within yourself, and become everything that you, have a dream of becoming.
Well, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. And as you were talking about pointing the finger at other people and complaining about things outside of yourself, it seems to me that usually people that do that are people with very low self-esteem and who are not at all in touch with those things that they need to root out. And I'm wondering what kinds of suggestions you would make to people that are critical and help them to understand that that criticism comes from within and that they do need to take a good hard look at themselves.
Yeah, one of the things that I do is I give you some different keys that you can do. Start investing your time wisely. It's not a good use of your time to spend on being critical of others. And, you know, sometimes what we can do is, instead of, really changing within our hearts, we, become critical because of the insecurities we have. And then that's who we become. You know, people label us as critical people. And so, one of the things that I do is I put some keys to personal dominion. So, one of the things you got to do is you got to make some goals and you got to set some deadlines. Everybody's usually got some kind of dreams, but they're not willing to make the investment to really write it down. You know, the Bible said, write a vision, make it clear so that they that read it can run with it. It's important that you write some things down that you want to do. And this is independent of what other people think or want or feel like you should do, because we can't live our lives to please everybody else. This is a season when we have to be God pleasers and not be man pleasers. We got to seek the approval of God and not the applause of man. And so if we're going to do that, we got to make some goals, and then we got to set some deadlines. I found in my own life that, setting deadlines when you're making goals is a key to accomplishing them. So don't just say, hey, this is what I want to do, or this is what I want to do. You know, a lot of times what we're doing is we're calling our dreams, really our dreams are nothing more than wishes, because we're not putting our hand to the plow and doing anything about it. And so set some deadlines, make some progress, put one foot front of the other and start doing something, head in the right direction. Quit talking about what you want to do or talking about other people, because here's the thing. If you'll start moving in the right direction, you're going to start feeling better about yourself. The more you start to change inwardly, the more your people are going to begin to notice it. You'll even begin to notice the change that takes place on the outside. We don't want a cosmetic change. You know, we don't want to put makeup on just to look better, but really our hearts are still evil and dark. So what we want to do is we want to change from the inside. And so, making goals, setting deadlines, care enough to get involved in people's lives, keep learning, seek counsel. I found out a long time ago, immature people are immature because they want to continue to be fools by taking their own advice. So learn how to seek counsel and then take it. One of the most frustrating things to me after 28 years of ministry is that people come in for counseling and then walk out of my office and go do what they want to do anyway. So that's frustrating. If you're going to go get counsel, then apply it. Start to make some progress by putting into effect some things that other people are giving you that really can help. You got to discipline your thoughts. You got to discipline your actions. You are what you think. You're not just what you eat. You're what you think. Really, that's really what we are. So you show me somebody who's thinking or dwelling on something, and that's who they are. So what are you dwelling on? What are you thinking about? What's on the forefront of your mind? If you have a bunch of, critical things on the forefront of your mind, that's who you are. It's not just what you do, not just what you say. It's who you are. And so it's really important that we discipline our thoughts. The Bible gives us the criteria that if things are pure, lovely, honest, just, virtuous, and praiseworthy, think on those things. If it doesn't fit in that characteristics, if it doesn't fit in that criteria, then don't think about it. Cast it out. If you don't, that's what's going to rule your life, and that's who you're going to become. Have faith in God. Go make somebody's day every day. I pray for my kids every morning before they go to school, and one of the things I tell them before I leave them is go make somebody's day. Go make them be glad that you're alive, that you were born, that you're still around. Go make somebody's day. If you need something to happen for you, one of the quickest ways to get something for yourself is to go make happen for someone else what you need for yourself. So if you really want something, go make somebody else's day. Go bless somebody else. Go do something. Go sow something. And in doing that, going serving other people or out serving other people, I like to say, then it's going to bring good things back to you. And so those are just a few of the things that you can do to really stir up some stuff within your own spirit. You know, show the Lord that you're really serious about some, you know, change in your life. But we give you 16 different things. Those are just a few that you can do to get, if you're really serious. And you know how it is, you know, it's hard to help people who do really don't want help. If you want help, we can help you. But if you don't, well, it's certainly hard to help people who don't really want help.
That's so true. I liked what you were saying about it all beginning at a thought level. And so many people seem to sleepwalk through life and are unaware of the thoughts that are going through their minds. What would you say to people to remain more conscious of what it is that they're thinking and doing so that they're not on automatic pilot?
Well, I think you just said it. Be conscious. That's going to be the key. You know, one of the things that we as Christians, we as people need to understand is that we're made in the image of Christ. So we're three-part beings. And so even though our body rests, our spirit never does. So even when you go to bed at night and you have a TV on or you have the radio on, you know, you may sleep, but what's going on the TV or the words that are coming across on that radio, they're getting into your spirit. That's why some people wake up and they don't feel rested, they don't feel like they've had a good night's sleep, or they wake up on the wrong side of the bed, or they're angry or negative or jealous or, you know, afraid or whatever negative emotion that might want to attach itself. I believe you can really, you know, correlate that back to what they have allowed into their spirit unknowingly throughout the night. Their body rests, but their spirit doesn't. I believe this: whatever you feed will grow, whatever you starve will die. So if you feed yourself on good things, then you're going to get good things out. So feed yourself, feed your mind, feed your life, body, whatever it may be, feed yourself on the good things, and then it will grow, because whatever you feed will grow, whatever you starve will die. That, to me, that's a key to life. If you can do that, it will start to change the way you feel about yourself, the way you look at others, the way you come across. I mean, if that was one truth that I could get across, that would be it. Whatever you feed will grow, whatever you starve will die. And you have to make sure that you're conscious and aware of what's going in. If you're not, then, you know, you may be walking around as an angry person, a jealous person, you know, a sad person, depressed, whatever it may be. And it's because of the stuff you're filling your body with, your mind with. And so you got to be conscious of it. You got to change that. You got to start filling it with good things. And then doing that, putting in that effort, then guess what? Then the good things are going to start coming forth.
Well, I liked what you said about being of service to other people. There are so many people that are self-serving and remain unhappy. I believe that the key to getting out of oneself and to leading a happy, constructive life is by being of service to other people and helping make their lives more enriching.
Yeah, here's the thing. Whatever you make happen for others, I believe God will make happen for you. So what a great truth. Whatever you make happen for someone else, I believe God will make happen for you. You got to be faithful in what belongs to someone else before God will give you something of your own. It's one of the biblical principles of prosperity. God will never give you anything until you've been faithful. You know, with the small things, he can't give you big things. If you've been faithful with what belongs to somebody else, God can't give you your own. And so these are biblical principles. And one way that I like to approach even coming at, you know, people who don't know the Lord is, you know, let's share with people the principles of Christ before we try to introduce them to the person of Christ. You know, too many people are doing evangelism in the wrong way. They're trying to, you know, scare the hell out of them instead of love the hell out of them and really let them know that, hey, there's a better way in life. And if we principles And if you apply those principles and they work, then you're going to want to know where they originated and came from. So there's so many great principles of the Bible that I believe if we will begin to apply them, we can have the opportunity to introduce people to the person of Christ just by initially introducing them to the principles of Christ. So it's so important that we look at these principles that God laid out in the Word, including the one I just mentioned. If you really want something to happen for you, you got to go make it happen for somebody else. I remember the night before I got married, the Lord sort of pulled a trick on me, or at least that's the way I look at it. You know, the Lord told me, he said, I want you to outserve your wife. I said, well, God, you're giving me this wife. You're bringing her along my side. He said, I want you to go outserve your wife. Every day you go make her day. Every day you go outserve her. Don't let one day go by where she outserves you. Wow, I tell you what, the Lord really threw me a curveball that night before I got married, but I decided, you know what, I'm going to bless my wife, I'm going to do something. I get up every morning, I make her coffee, I put a little, you know, creamer, I put a little bit of coffee in there, and I put some sugar in there, I put some syrup in there, I mix it all up, I get it to the right perfect temperature for her, you know, I take it to her, and then throughout the day, I want to bless her. And in doing that, trust me, I get it back. I get those things back. But we've got to have that attitude. We're going to go out serve somebody today. I'm going to premeditate love. I'm going to premeditate service. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be a blessing to people every single day of my life. If we have that kind of attitude, we're going to have a winning attitude every single time if we approach life like that.
Well, I like the word attitude because it seems to me that that's where everything begins for us. It starts at a thought level, but it's the attitude that we maintain that brings us to a place of joy or a place of negativity. And I'd like to hear what you have to say about remaining in a place of positivity and what some of the other things are that you can do to maintain that.
Yeah, your attitude determines your altitude. So if you're finding yourself sort of hitting a wall and not going very high and being very successful, most of the time it can be attributed back to your attitude, your approach in life, you know, how you come across. And so you've got to begin to make a decision to change that, because if you have a bad attitude, low altitude, good attitude, then you have good altitude. So we've got to begin to, what I call, you know, what I say to people is, be a thermostat instead of a thermometer. So what is a thermometer? A thermometer will register the temperature, right? But a thermostat will regulate the temperature. So, you know, ask yourself, what am I? Am I registering the temperature? Every time somebody sees me, they know if I'm mad, angry, upset, hurt, you know, disgusted, you know, happy, whatever it may be. If you're a thermometer, then you're allowing life's situations to dictate to you how you're going to feel and what day you're going to have. And you can't be like that and be successful. You can be like that, but you can't be like that and be successful. So if you want to be successful, you got to be a thermostat. You got to not just register the temperature, you got to regulate the temperature. So you be the change agent. You make sure that regardless if anybody else does it, you do the right thing. I tell people, you know, when you go into church, whatever your attitude is, whatever atmosphere you create, it will spread. So it won't just affect you. It's going to have the potential to affect other people. So you go in with a bad attitude, make a decision. I'm not going to sing. I don't like the songs. I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to listen to anything. I'm just going to bear my, you know, bite my lip, grin, and get through this. Then you're not going to get much out of it. And then you'll probably blame the praise and worship. You blame the music team. You blame the preacher. You blame the people, when really it's your fault that you didn't enter in. So you've got to go in and make a decision. I'm not going to be a thermometer. I'm not just going to register the temperature, but I'm going to be a thermostat. I'm going to be a change agent, and I'm going to regulate, change the temperature. If you're on your job and everybody's negative, don't fall into that trap and just go along with it. You know what? Be positive. It takes a lot of work to be an adult. It takes a lot of work to be a change agent. It takes a lot of work to sort of be that, you know, thermostat that regulates the temperature. It takes no work at all for me to be a thermometer. It takes no work at all for me to register the temperature. I was born to be a natural thermometer where I register the temperature. But then what happens is we allow everything in life, everything that goes on, you know, if it's a happy day, then we're happy. If it's a sad day, then we're sad. And most of the time, sad things are going to happen. But you have to get to the point where you stop letting situations and circumstances dictate how your day is going to go, and you start dictating your day how it's going to go. No matter what comes against me, God's going to work this out. If God be for me, it doesn't matter who's against me. All of these things, you just keep quoting Scripture, saying it out of your mouth. That's what Jesus did when the devil tempted him and fought him. And that's what we got to do if we're going to walk in victory in our lives.
Well, I like what you were just saying, and it reminds me of how often people tend to attach themselves to outer conditions like people, places, and things in order to try to make themselves feel better, when the only thing that is going to fill them up is spirit. And what would you say to people to help them detach from outer circumstances so that they can go to that place within and tap into their spirits?
Well, it's about your senses. So, you know, whether it be, you know, what you see, what you hear, what you speak, you know, what you allow in your mind, you know, your gates. You know, gates, there's reason people put gates up. There's reason people put fences up. There's reason that we encourage people to establish boundaries in their life. It's because we want to keep certain things in and we want to keep certain things out. And so, you know, if you just want to be emotionally lazy, boy, that's sure easy to do. But, you know, you're going to live a life that is not going to be, you know, really the kind of life that's going to be a fulfilling and satisfying life. So you've got to make that effort to say, okay, hey, if I'm watching something, if this doesn't glorify God, if this isn't something that's going to benefit me or bless me or bring hope to me in some way, then I can't be watching it. I can't be listening to things that, you know, I shouldn't be listening to, whether it be lyrics on a song on the radio or whether it be gossip from people on your job. You can walk away. You can say no. You have to be the person who gains personal dominion over your life in 2016. This isn't going to come easy. It isn't going to happen because you went to sleep, woke up, and decided this. It's going to take a lot of work. It took you a long time to get in this mess, so one day isn't going to change everything, but it's a start. And if you can do the right thing for a 30, 60-day period, you can probably change the bad habits in your life. But you've got to make sure that what enters your eye gates, your ear gates, your mind gate, you know, if it doesn't please God, if it doesn't bring hope, if it isn't encouraging, if it isn't, you know, blessing, if it isn't, you know, something good or from God, then get it out. Shut the door on it. Don't let it in, because if you let that in, it's going to negatively affect you. And then what happens next is you're going to speak it out of your mouth. And then when you start speaking out of your mouth, you're going to get others. I tell people this all the time. Just get on a chair and see what's easier, for somebody to pull you off of that chair or for you to pull them up on that chair. And the truth is, it's a lot easier for you to pull them off than it is for you to pull them up. And so, you know, you have to make sure that you're hanging out with the right people, going to the right places, listening to the right things, allowing, you know, good things to get into your life, you know, because all we're going to do is, if we don't do that, we're going to be blaming everybody else as to why we have such a sorry life, when really we're the ones who can take authority. We're the ones who can change things, but we've got to do that by watching what comes into the gates of our life, eyes, ears, mind gates. And we have to really put up those fences, set those boundaries in such a way that would glorify the Lord.
Well, it sounds like the key word here is responsibility, taking responsibility for one's own thoughts and actions and deeds. What would you have to say about the role of gratitude and the importance of that?
Well, I think being, you know, I think, you know, learning to be thankful, learning to be, to walk in an attitude of gratitude is essential to your life. You know, I think we got to learn how to be thankful. And it's not naturally, you know, incumbent upon us to sort of, be thankful. We're not naturally thankful people. We have to learn it. You know, when my kids were born, you know, as they grow up, when people do something for them, I've taught them, you know, it doesn't matter what they give you. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It doesn't matter if, you know, it's not what you wanted or if you got several of what they gave you. You learn how to be thankful. Even one of the things that I talk about in my book, the New Prophetic Almanac is, I mentioned a moment ago, we look at every book of the Bible that has a chapter 16. First Chronicles 16 is all about showing gratitude. I talk about the ingredients of the ingredients that go into having a true attitude of gratitude, a true spirit of thanksgiving. You got to remember what God has done. You got to share it with others. So when God does something for you, share it with somebody. Let God know that He's good. He's a good God. You know, tell people about the goodness of God, because that is what the Word of God declares will bring men to repentance. If you're going to really walk in true thankfulness, you got to show it in your daily life. You know, tell other people that you're thankful for them. You know, instead of being critical, learn how to be thankful. And then, you know, offer gifts of your time, talent, treasure. Give back to people. Give back to the Lord. That's one of the best ways to really show true gratitude, is to give back what God has put inside of you. David recovered the ark in 1 Chronicles 16. He set the ark of in the tabernacle that he had built. And this whole chapter, if you just read it, is all about gratitude, showing gratitude, being thankful. And it's more than the words out of our mouths. It's the righteous actions in our living. Boy, here's the thing. People can say a lot. They run their mouths a lot. But you got to really back up your words with actions. That's the key. So, you know, if you're going to be thankful, it's so important that we learn to be thankful and that we practice being thankful in all our lives with everyone in our lives.
I totally agree. I once asked a minister what the most important prayer was to say, and she said simply, thank you. And I find that is, when I maintain that attitude of gratitude, that elevates me and keeps me in a place of joy. And it's the little things that people can start looking at. They don't have to be big things. I mean, just waking up in the morning is such a blessing, and being able to breathe and having food to eat and a roof over your head and people in your life who support you and love you. You know, a lot of people are looking for ivory towers, and they're not mindful of the multitude of blessings that they have in their lives for which they should be grateful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Well, if it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, it's the little things that we do that can make it even better. And so, boy, that's so awesome. I mean, be thankful for the food that we eat. There's people that are hungry. Be thankful for the clothes we wear. It may not be as good as the person next door, but we're not in a competition here. You know, we've got a roof over our head. It doesn't matter. So, you know, all of these things, learn. Thanksgiving is intentional. You have to be you have to have the intent. You have to be intentional about being thankful in, you know, the things of life. And so I don't have to always be thankful for the things that happen. You know, I don't get in a car accident and say, well, I'm thankful I got in a car accident. But here's the difference. I can be thankful in the middle of that. You know, whatever it is, we can turn it around. Don't let life circumstances get the best of you. You get the best of life circumstances by having a good attitude, feeding yourself on the things of God, walking in obedience to His word, being thankful in everything that goes on. And if you do that, well, I tell you what, it's going to really change the whole atmosphere of your life.
Well, I think you made an important point, and I may be wrong, but it seems like you alluded to the silver lining in dark clouds that a lot of times we seem to miss when we take a look at our lives and judge things as having been bad. I mean, difficult things happen in our lives. There are challenges that come along, and they're all opportunities for growing. And so I believe it's important to take a look at whatever's come to pass in our lives and see the hidden blessings, don't you?
Yeah, you know, people always talk about the five stages of grief. The last stage of grief is that acceptance stage, where most people really, if we're honest, they don't get to. Well, here's how you know you've come to that stage of acceptance. You know, some people, they deny their pain. Some people, they bargain with God. Some people get depressed. Some people get angry, whatever it may be. But when we get to that point of acceptance, we can use those bad things for our benefit and for the benefit of others. So until you're okay to talk about those storms that you've gone through, until you're okay to share with others the wisdom that, you know, you learned and share with them how they can overcome it or maybe not go through some of those things at all, then you really haven't accepted those things that you have gone through. God wants to take those things, take them, turn them around, bring something good out of it for us and for others. And if we can learn to do that, I tell you what, you know what? There won't be any advantage that enemy can gain on us if we'll take everything, turn it around, and use it for the glory of God and for the good of others.
Beautiful. Well, we do have a couple of callers. Would you like to take some calls?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'm coming to area code 870. What is your name, please? Hello? Can you hear me, 870?
Can you
hear me? Yes. What is your name?
Rod.
I didn't catch that.
Rod. R-O-D, Rod.
Oh, okay. Is there anything that you'd like to say to Pastor Bill? Any questions you have?
I like what he's been saying is that, like I was thinking, if I borrow $20 and from you, and I borrow another $20, and I borrow another $20, I keep getting negative. And so the more you borrow from that, you keep getting negative. You see what I'm saying? If you borrow from the negative thoughts, you keep getting negative thoughts. You know, you have to get the negative. I mean, you have to get some positive to come out of the negative, like he was saying. And so I learned a lot.
Yeah, that's so important because, you know, we think, you know, we can get ahead in life by dwelling on the negative, and it's just going to be impossible. You know, some people want to go to the bank and get a withdrawal of money when they haven't put any in. And so you've got to be willing to put something in order to get something out. And so this is our year. I really believe 2016 is a year for us to really, you know, sort of plant our seed, water our seed, and allow God to bring the harvest in his timing. You know, you have seed time, you have watering time, you have waiting time, and you have harvest time. And so just as there's four seasons in the natural, there's four seasons in the spiritual. We all love that last season in the spiritual of harvest time, but we really don't like the season of waiting time. But it's what we do in that waiting season that determines the quantity and the quality of our harvest. So we've got to be willing to not just sow the seed and water it, but wait as a waiter or waitress serves us at a restaurant. You know, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, that's not talking about just waiting, sitting there, twiddling your thumbs and doing nothing. It's talking like a waiter or waitress will serve you. If you go out to eat and a waiter or waitress doesn't serve you properly, it's going to affect probably the amount of tip you give them. So you have to make sure you're serving the Lord. You're, you know, making some investments. You're planting some seeds. You're watering those things. You're doing the right things so that when you need that harvest, you've already, planted the seed, watered it, waited properly, and now you can do the right thing and expecting it to come to pass in your life. So you got to do the right thing, and there's no better time to do it than right now.
Yes, sir. Could I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay, in my career, I've been really praying about my career and things like that. And, you know, because I've been studying about unforgiveness and those things. Like, what is the best way that I could look? I'm trying to get over my past so that I can get into my future, you know. So what is the best way that you would say?
Well, I think one of the best ways to get over your past is to just do what you said, get over it, move on, quit living in it, you know, quit allowing those things. You can't allow your past to dictate your future. And so, you know, you can find out what your purpose in life is by finding out what do you love, what do you hate, and what do you grieve for. Do some things to invest into your future. Quit looking back and waiting for something to happen or worrying about what's already happening or allowing the enemy to tell you that it's never going to happen because of some things you've done. God can use those things for your benefit and for the benefit of others, but you just got to put your trust in him and start walking forward. Put one foot in front of the other. Start doing some things to make those promises that God has put in your heart come to pass. So don't look back. Don't be like Job's wife. Don't look back. Look forward. Start making progress. Put one foot in front of the other. And what happens is, before you know it, you know, you're going to look back and say, wow, you know, all of these steps, you know, have you know, make me feel like I've just taken some giant leaps into my future and to fulfilling my destiny.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that.
God bless
Anything
you, my
else?
Friend. Thank you, Rod.
Thanks for calling, Rod. God bless.
Bless you, too.
Thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to move on to area code 917. I'm trying to bring you live. Hang in there. You're going to be in limbo for just a minute. Okay, there you are. What is your name, please?
Hi, I didn't really raise my hand, but I could go and ask the question. It's fine.
Oh, please do.
Well, I'm really wondering about a position that I applied for. It's at a school, and so I'm waiting for that. The question is, like, do you see me hearing back from them?
Well, here's the thing. You know, do you have the proper education? Do you meet the requirements? If all of those things are in place, if you meet all the criteria, then you put it in the Lord's hand. So whether it's this job or another job, that's not really for me to say. You know, if you're doing the right things, if you're investing in your future and you meet the requirements, if it's not this one, it's going to be another one. If that's what you feel is your, you know, life's call, if that's what you feel is your destiny and purpose, and you've educated yourself in that area and arena, then you know what? You just believe the Lord that if that door closes, that there's something better that God is going to open to, you know, help you to have a greater impact and to be a more of a blessing to other people. So I wouldn't worry about a specific thing. Is it this going to be it or is that going to be it? That can drive you nuts. You know, you can sit there and worry yourself sick. Just do the right thing. Make sure that you are properly trained, that you are ready, and then leave the rest in the Lord's hands. You know, I wouldn't just put one cookie in the jar. I'd start trying to, you know, put feelers out in other places and then let God bring to you the one that he wants. And if more than one comes in, then you're going to have to make that choice where you say, hey, you know what? This is the one I feel peace about. This is the one I feel like God is really ruling in or ruling out based upon that peace criteria that's in your heart and in your life.
I think you made a really important point, and that is, in essence, God is all-powerful, and there are infinite possibilities out there for each and every one of us. And when we put all our eggs in one basket, it's as if we're placing a condition on God and not allowing the infinite possibilities of blessings to flow our way. What is your name, caller?
Samantha.
Samantha, I forgot to ask you how you're doing tonight.
I'm feeling a little bit anxious. I have to study for some exams, and I think I need a little prayer or something to help me connect with God, because I'm just, this whole thing is making me anxious and nervous, and the exam is in July, but I'm already, like, scared that I don't have enough time, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it makes sense, and I'll tell you what, let's just pray, because that's going to be the key. So, Lord, we just lift up Samantha to you right now, and I just pray, God, that you just give her a peace from the top of her head to the soles of her peace. Lord, let soles of her feet, I just pray, God, that you give her a peace that passes all understanding right now in her heart and in her mind, Lord. I just pray, God, that you would just allow her to be prepared, do what she needs to do to be mentally ready and educated, Lord, to take this test to the very best of her ability. Lord, I just come against fear. I come against worry. I come against apprehension. These are not emotional traits and characteristics that glorify you. So, Lord, we're going to put our trust in you. We're going to do our part to make sure we're ready. We're going to make sure we put forth that effort in the natural, but we're also, Lord, going to put our confidence in you, knowing, Lord, that you're going to bring things back to our memory that we put in, and, God, that you're going to help us to just be relaxed and be, Lord, in just a state of peace, knowing that we know that material. We're going to take it and pass it and do well and leave it in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're feeling better, Samantha?
That was great. That was great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in tonight, and best wishes to you, my dear.
Thank you.
Okay, did you have anything else? Okay, very good.
Thank you so much for that prayer, and just talking about God, just like, it's so much better. Thank you.
God bless you, sis.
God bless, Samantha. There was something you said in that prayer that really struck me, and it's eluding me right now. You were talking about worry, and that seems to be such a natural part of the human condition. And surrender can be elusive. Letting go can be elusive. What practical suggestions would you make to people to let go of worry and place their faith in God?
Well, I guess the number one thing you can do is just feed yourself on the Word of God. Jeremiah said, eat the Word. So get that in you, and that's going to take care of that worry. You know, when you have some negative things that come your way, when worry is trying to creep up, you know, when you have these negative emotions arising in you, there's only so many ways you can combat that. And the best way to combat it is by getting the Word and reading something in there that's the exact opposite of what you're feeling. Here's something that's important. You know, God never intended for us to allow our feelings to lead. That's very important. Get that now. I want your audience to really hear that. Feelings were never meant to lead. Feelings were meant to follow. The problem is we let feelings lead all the time. So if we feel like doing something, usually we do it. If we don't feel like doing it, then we don't. Wrong. We do something, and then the feelings come. That's the way God instituted it. So when you do the right thing, you're going to feel the right things. So if you're worrying, then it's a direct sign. It's evidence that you aren't doing the right things. So we can sit here and argue about it. People get mad. They don't like it because, as we mentioned a moment ago, you got to take personal responsibility if you want to overcome some of these things in your life. If you want to blame your mother and father because of your childhood, if you want to blame your spouse or your children or your parents or whoever it may be, you know what? That's good. You're setting yourself up for failure. So you got to never allow feelings to control your life because they weren't meant to lead. They were meant to follow. So make feelings follow by doing right acts. And in doing right acts, good feelings will come and they will follow.
Beautiful. Well, let's talk again about your book for a moment. How can that rekindle people's fire for God?
Well, it's going to rekindle because it's going to create an excitement in you. You know, it's 180 pages full of inspiration, information, divine revelation. You're going to see some of these things come to pass. It's going to give you a desire to really go to church, read the Word, pray, hang out with some good people. You're going to read some awesome things in this book. You're going to see things come to pass on a daily basis. And it really is just one of those books that's a guidebook for the year. Just like the Farmer's Almanac comes out yearly, we're putting out this prophetic almanac to let you know what to expect and what you can know is going to be happening throughout 2016. So I really can't encourage people enough. Get a copy of this book. It's more than just getting the book. You know, it's about getting the message of it. It's not really my book. I feel guilty putting my name on the book because God gave it to me to give to other people. So I really, you know, excuse me, really want to encourage people, go to churchofacts.org, go to destinylandcc.org, copy of the new prophetic almanac today. Go to Barnes & Noble, go to eBay, order a copy off of eBay for crying out loud. Go to Amazon, download it on your phone, on your iPad, whatever it may be. Get a copy of it, read it, and I guarantee you it's going to pique your interest, it's going to stir up the spirit within you, and it's going to release the fire of God inside of you like you haven't felt in a long time.
Beautiful. Well, we just have a couple minutes remaining. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the audience tonight?
Well, I think we've said a lot, but I think the key is understanding what this year is all about, what God's expectation. So you know what? Walk in love. 16 revolves around love. Learn what true love is according to 1 Corinthians 13. Gain personal dominion. Grow up. Come of age in 2016. Let go of those things, you know, that are behind you and move on into your future and destiny. And you know what? Build your marriage and family. Let this be a year where we focus in on the things that matter the most. Too many times we spend time with people trying to get ahead and it doesn't work because they know we're spending time with them or trying to do things to get ahead anyway. So invest your time wisely. Spend it with those people who matter the most. And in doing that, you're going to create great success coming your way in 2016.
Well, thank you very much for that. And thank you for joining me tonight. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. I've enjoyed, loved your questions, loved being with you. Thank you for the callers and all your listeners. God bless you, and go get a copy of the Prophetic Almanac for 2016 today.
God bless you. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing of separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. God bless everybody.